Our next speaker is Dr. Charles Igwe, from originally from Nigeria, but right now from Japan. And his talk will be multifunctionality of Sawa ecotechnology and why Sawa-based rice farming is critical for Africa's green revolution.
Thank you. Thank you very much, the moderator. Well, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Of course, gentlemen all through. My topic is multifunctionality of Sawa ecotechnology. Why Sawa-based rice farming is critical to African green revolution. The major worries of political leaders in sub-Saharan Africa countries are, one, achieving food security through a green revolution. However, this objective may not be realized if the breakthrough in biotechnology is not matched with a breakthrough in ecotechnology. Sawa ecotechnology offers an answer to the eco-management. Sawa ensures proper soil management and sustainable rice yield. It also ensures equilibrium between the environment and productivity. Here we propose a watershed development similar to what the Japanese normally refer to as the Satoyama. The watershed is utilized for one agroforestry, arable cropping such as rice, fishing, and fuel wood. And the ecotechnology against biotechnology receives less research attention in the sub-Saharan Africa. This is therefore the missing link in the sub-Saharan African Green Revolution. The term Sawa refers to a leveled rice field surrounded by bonds with inlet and outlet connections for irrigation and drainage. It is a Malayo-Indonesian term distinguishing paddy, rice plant, and paddy, rice grain with husk, and rice field, which we've nicknamed the Sawa, and a borrowed language, like we said, from the Indo-Malayan language group. And Sawa is a multifunctional constructed wetland and a prerequisite for realizing the objectives of green revolution, as well as maintaining a sustainable ecological environment. Sawa system of lowland rice production is becoming very popular in sub-Saharan Africa. And what we are trying to show in this model is that here we have improved variety due to biotechnology, and here we have development as a result of improvement in the ecotechnological ecosystem. And when you match biotechnology with ecotechnology, then we realize the improved and increased yield we are talking about in our Green Revolution movement. There are research concepts to improve natural resources management, but there are none so far very little to improve soil and water management condition in the African lowlands traditionally under rice system. Despite advances in breeding and the use of agrochemical, there is still insufficiency in rice production generally in our region. Therefore, improving the ecological environment is a prerequisite for realizing the potential high yield when growing high-yielding varieties with irrigation and fertilization. Sawa practices are based on the following on-farm operations: selection of appropriate site within the watershed, bonding of plots to control water flow, leveling of the land, proper bottling of the plots, effective water control through inlet and outlet flows. The term multifunctionality in general agriculture refers to an agricultural activity that could have multiple roles besides providing food and fiber. The multiple roles of agriculture include 1, food security, viability of 2, viability of rural communities, 3, environmental protection such as soil land conservation, 4, sustainable management of renewable natural resources, 5, preservation of biodiversity, and 6, preservation of landscape. This is a typical landscape in southeastern Nigeria, where I come from, and we believe that an agricultural system that will be acceptable and that will be sustainable is such that can maintain a stability between the environment and the production system. And one of our colleagues in Ghana tried to develop a model that could be used or that could be adopted into production system, and at the same time maintaining the slope and not maintaining a stable slope and utilizing it for plantation agriculture and primary forest. And that is where the term Yama or Soto Yama came from. Sato is the lowland where, if you look at that lowland now, you see where the rice production system is going on, and you have plantation crops going within the lower slope, and upper slope you have some other forest trees. This is another model for our Sawa system of lowland, where the stream or the river flow is being tamed, and you have an inlet-outlet system. And this is a model where we try to show what the local farmers' field look like. The varieties are not selected, and the land is not properly taken care of. There is no eco-technology, and here you have eco-technology matched with high-yielding varieties. This is a practical example of what we have in traditional farmers' field. This is a rice field, a traditional rice field in West Africa, and this is what it has done to the environment. And once the environment is being depleted in terms of deforestation and all the rest of them, then a land system or a scenery like what I've shown earlier on will now crop up. And here you have Sawa being organized within the West African system. Here is a typical Sawa system that is developed in Philippines, and use it to look at what happens here and what happens here. Now, what we've tried to show here is that the distribution of available land that could be used for rice cultivation in sub-Saharan Africa. In the coastal swamps, you have about 17 million hectares available, and area and the potential sour development is within this percentage. The inland basin is such. Floodplains is about 30 million hectares, while in the inland valleys, you have about 85 million hectares available for sour development. Here we've tried to begin to identify the multifunctionality of Sawa. We've graded it into 3 major regions. 1 is the intensive, diverse, and sustainable nature of productivity. And within this classification, you have 1, it ensures maximum yield. Of course, that is why we are going into it. And maximum yield, and it outperforms the other systems of rice production. Here we try to compare the different varieties under different management systems. We have about 23 varieties, and we have irrigated sawa with high input level and low input level. Here we have rainfall, rain-fed sour with high input, low input sour level low input level, and upland, what we may call upland rice production system at high and low input. And I'll summarize it such that within the irrigated sour, in low input, you have about 2.8 to 4.4 tons per hectare, whereas in the high input, you have about 4.0 to 8.2, and in the rain fed, you have this amount of tons of paddy per hectare, and in the upland. So you see that overall, that in the irrigated sour, that you have, even at low input or at the high input, that you have very high production compared to other rice farming systems. The second one, you have there is a natural nitrogen fixation, because the system encourages growth of microorganisms. Growth of microorganisms such as azolla, and nitrogen fixation is assured. Here you have sour ensuring phosphate availability. It also ensures pH neutralizing ecosystem. There is irrigation water applicable. This is also applicable to irrigation water and sediment deposition from the upland. The sour system allows fish and rice culture, and interaction between geese and aquatic birds. There is simple suppression of weed, ample suppression of weed, like you've seen in this particular photograph. If you look at the photograph now, there are no weeds, and the plants are doing very well and properly tillered. And this is also another model showing how the soil could be constantly fertilized geologically. And the second classification is that it ensures carbon sequestration and nitrogen methane emission under, there is methane emission under submerged condition. Nitrous oxide emission is under aerobic rice system, whereas watershed agroforestry in the form of Satoyama creates forest upland. Sour system is used to control flooding and soil erosion. Control of water in sour can be used to generate very little electricity within the farmstead. And the system helps to denitrifies denitrification of nitrate polluted water environment. That is what I've shown in a model. So, and it creates an aesthetic land system. The system, if you look at this terrace and the sour system there, you see that it makes the environment looks very beautiful. And there is a fair distribution of water among the farmers. Acknowledgement. At this time, I want to acknowledge the JSPL that has sponsored my stay in Japan, and I also want to thank the organizers of this conference for giving us a slot to present our research information, and I want to thank every person for your patience. Thank you very much. Yeah. Well, the land preparation in the rice farming system involves bottling, I agree with you. But this system ensures that what I may call, you know, when the rice is not there, you can also use it to manage such crops like vegetables, especially in the dry season. And within this period, I personally, primarily, work on aggregates, and I've seen what puddling can do in a soil system like this. But we also know that the aggregate sometimes regenerates if you allow the soil sometime, and if you do some intervention, especially during the dry season, by interfering with cover crops and such crops that can help in the regeneration of, well, it might not be 100%, but it improves, like our colleagues have been saying since the afternoon, it may, you know, help in improving soil organic carbon content, and if you allow the soil to stay for some time, there is a regeneration of aggregation, even though it will not be 100% good. But for rice to grow, there must be some puddling. But I do agree with you that there must be some intervention at a stage to try to get the soil aggregates to a normal to normal level of aggregation, even though it might not be 100% like we had in no-till and other systems.